up, Janelle?
Hey, Bronzy.
How's it going?
It's going pretty well. How's it going on your end?
It's cool. Everything is cool on my end. I feel fed. And I'm excited to talk to you. I mean, we're back to regularly scheduled programming now.
Yes.
Which I'm sad about, but, you know, the show must go on. So here we are.
Same. Yeah. Shout out to technology. You know?
Shout out to technology.
Still get to see your face every other week.
Right. How was your weekend? Or how is your weekend going?
Weekend is pretty chill. Looking forward to watching the women's NCAA championships in a couple of hours. But yeah, other than that, it's just been being a dog mom and taking Spody to all his appointments this weekend.
Right. Cool.
He's a busy involved pup.
Yeah, he's learning things. You know what I mean? You got to train him up right. You got to train him up right so that when you out in these streets, he knows how to act and isn't embarrassing you.
He knows how to act. That's number one, only rule. Don't embarrass me. That's it.
Trust me. How about you? I know all about it. And 11 and 8 years in, I wish I would have done more of the training at that age. But yeah, my weekend has been cool.
Wait, Carter is 11 years old?
Yeah, Carter's 11.
Oh my gosh. When did that happen?
Right. That's what I'm asking myself. He'll be 12 this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Yesterday,
acts very young. Sorry.
No. Now that is something that I'm thankful for, because whenever I tell someone that he is 11, they're like, what? Seriously? Even the vet is like, he does not give 11 years old. So it's a good thing, but my fear is that one day it's just all going to happen abruptly, because it hasn't progressively happened. So I'm like, yeah. I don't want that either, but what would you rather? Anyway, I just hope that he remains how he is.
Yeah.
And then Dexter, he still acts like he's 8 months. I don't understand.
In my head, he is.
I don't understand. Maybe that's our fault for his nickname being Puppy, because he literally just embraces all of that. I'm like, you're grown. You're like geriatric at this point. Yeah.
Oh, man. But other than that, how's your weekend been?
Cool. Yesterday, they ran a billion errands. And I'm like, I realized I did that because I don't do that during the week. Because in Jersey, rush hour is like from 4 to 8 p.m. So by the time I'm finished working, I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. Only thing I'll go is the gym, maybe. So yeah, like ran to every store there is known to man. Home Depot, grocery store. Where else we go? Drop the tennis rackets off to be restrung. The pet store to get dog food and stuff like that. I'm like, I'm tired. Like, I feel like I done worked the whole day out in the ripping and running and living the suburban life.
But that's what it sounds like. I'm like, Home Depot, the grocery store, yes. Get your tennis rackets restrung. Like, who are y'all?
It's like giving entire domestic suburban family over here. I'm like, this is crazy. But it was good. And then today is chill. Like you said, I'm going to tap into the game. Probably cook a nice dinner. I don't know. Or we could order something. Who knows? The world is our oyster today. But yeah, speaking of, you know, the NCAA finals, are you ready to get into Above the Fold?
Let's do it. We have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, let's go.
So, yes, NCAA finals are today, but I think one of the biggest games, and I think by the numbers too, was the LSU-Iowa game that was on, what was that, Friday?
Yes.
And shortly thereafter, Angel Reese declared for the WNBA via Vogue. Did you see that?
I did. I love that too. I love that it was via Vogue.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. Yeah, that was cool. Because I'm like, there are a lot of different ways she could have gone about that. A lot of different partners she could have gone through to do that.
Or do I love that it was via Vogue? now that I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that for her.
I mean, they're... Right. I don't think it was wrong to do it that way.
I don't think it was wrong either. I'm just saying, do I love it? Like, am I retracting the love, admiration for it? But I love that for her.
Go ahead. Sorry, really quickly. I like that it was, I think it was shot by Miles Lofton. It was styled by Naomi Elize. I think that's how you pronounce her name. Like, it seemed to be a very Black situation over there, shot down in Louisiana.
I think the person that wrote the story was also Black, Leah Faye Cooper. So yeah, it was a Black affair, which we love. She said that she has done everything. It makes sense. She's done everything that she's wanted to in college. Like, as far as the sport goes, she's got the chip. She's been player of the year. It's like, what do I, you know, attempt to try and do it again to prove what? We know that, like, the collegiate years are short in terms of your eligibility. You get 4 years. So if you're able to accomplish that.
Five.
My bad.
Yeah, I think they get like a COVID year too.
Oh, okay.
So she could have come. She could have come back. And I don't know. I mean, I get it. Like, yeah, she's achieved a lot, and she's achieved all the major milestones within college. But I do think like the WNBA is a different beast, and we know that like viewership, for whatever reason, though they are working on it, does not translate from the college game, even women's, to like the WNBA. So I'm wondering, is she leaving money on the table? Like, with her NIL deals and as much money as she's making versus like what a WNBA contract looks like for a rookie?
But I think she's going to carry them. The hope is, and maybe there's some conversations that have already happened in terms of those deals. Like, what do they translate into post her collegiate career? But I think when you have like an Angel Reese, and she is a part of this freshman class of NIL deals, like, this NIL situation hasn't been in effect for a long time. So I think she is kind of like a use case of what happens post like collegiate. Does this translate into the broader spectrum of pictures of the picture when it comes to the WNBA, of how like these college athletes that the world has become accustomed to watching and wanting to watch and seeing their progression? And then also you add the marketing component with that, as she's attached to companies and brands and things like that. Now going into the WNBA, will that elongate and continue the exposure that she's getting in college? I think this is a good use case. Like, let's use her as a case study to see what does happen. I think the same is going to be said for Caitlin as well. We'll get into that, but
But I think those are two different use cases, though, right? Like,
what are two different ones?
Caitlin versus Angel, because I think that the only way, like, I agree. There's nothing prohibiting all these brands that currently work with Angel Reese to, you know, there's nothing prohibiting them from continuing to work with her as she transitions into the WNBA. I think the big difference, I mean, for both of them really, is going to be, can they remain dominant at that level, right? Because like, you can dominate the NCAA game, and that's why all these brands are coming to you. But if you get to the W and you get your shit swatted every week, why are we attaching, you know what I mean? So like, it's going to be contingent on her game being dominant at that level. And I don't know, I've been having a lot of conversations just around her game and what that looks like at the next level. She may have to put in a little bit of work. I mean, a lot of good work.
I understand that, and I don't disagree. That is a valid point. That's a valid point.
But I mean,
I don't have a rebuttal. Okay, so let me ask you this.
That's something that all rookies go through, right? Like, you're not, you don't, I mean, unless you're a once in a generation talent, a la LeBron James, you're not coming in there as a rookie being as dominant as some of the vets in the game. You know what I mean? Like, you have to put on weight, and you gotta, you know, you gotta step your shit up. So
let me ask you this. And speaking of LeBron James, what about Bronny James? He's also announced that he is entering the draft this year. He has NIL deals.
Yeah.
Is this a different use case? Obviously, a la LeBron James.
Yeah.
Does that change the game for him when it comes to, like, and also we're talking about the NBA and not the WNBA. Is your position the same?
A little bit. I mean, I think, like, your dad being LeBron James is going to affect a lot of that, because I don't think he was the most dominant high school or college player and he was getting all of these deals. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He was, let's be honest, a lot of what he was getting was based off of the last name.
Nepotism.
So I don't know. I think it's a little bit, I think it's a little bit different. I also find it interesting that I didn't know that you could do this, that you could, like, declare for the, because I don't think it's this way in the NFL. Like, you can declare for the NBA, but also kind of, like, still keep one foot in the college pool, because he also entered the transfer portal. So he can either go to the NBA or he could just switch schools. It's like a
I did not know
half that in, half out situation. Yeah, I don't know the specifics of it or how it works, but yeah, he's both declared for the NBA draft and entered the transfer portal.
Interesting. Yeah, I think it changes for him. I don't think like the lens you're looking at it for Angel Reese remains for him. And I think the biggest reason for that is LeBron James. You're going to be attached to LeBron James. Like, the biggest thing that has happened to the NBA in the last 20 years at this point, 20 plus. So obviously LeBron is going to look out for him in his deals. Like, if he's doing a spot or he's entering a brand partnership, he's of course going to be like, all right, can we write in the agreement Bronny? Or at least, you know, he's able to sit at them tables and speak. Obviously, a part of that is Bronny's going to have to show up and show how useful he is on the court for that to be, like, substantial. But yeah, all of these things are exciting to kind of see how they unfold for these athletes.
Yeah. And I think, like, even outside of just, like, the individual athletes and, like, whatever their next steps are or whatever their NIL deals are, just looking at, like, the business of women's basketball, like, in totality has been very interesting to me. I think the LSU and Iowa game was the most watched basketball game. I'm gonna misquote this, but I think it was, like, the most watched basketball game, like, on ESPN. And it was, like, the second largest, like, viewership of a non-football game on ESPN. So, like, bringing in major numbers, and we're talking about a women's NCAA Final Four game.
Right. I mean,
like, that's huge.
That is huge, but it is a no. I don't know what I want to say. I was going to say, this is what I was going to say, but I'm not saying it. I was going to say it's huge, but it is a Final Four game.
Women's. We're talking about women's basketball.
But hasn't that been
five years ago? No.
I was going to say, hasn't that been the case where, yeah, you're right. 5 years ago, that was not happening anywhere.
No one was watching women's basketball like that.
What do you think has caused the shift? Is it the talent?
No, I think it's the, I mean, yes, I think the talent, I think, I just think that the game, basketball as a whole, has evolved. Like, you know, I was just having this conversation the other day, like, with a couple of people. I had this conversation a couple of times, but basically, like, what has become blockbuster basketball has changed, right? Like, it's not all about the dunking and all of that anymore. It's the long range three, and that's something that women can do. Yeah. So, like, it's just a very transferable skill within basketball. So if Steph Curry is blockbuster basketball than these women, and Caitlin pulling up from the logo is too.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Let's talk about Caitlin's situation. Let's talk about that. So apparently the Big Three League has offered her $5 million to join, right? And that's Ice Cube's 3-on-3 basketball league that is inclusive of,
that is,
you know, veterans of the game, all-stars, and it hasn't been declared whether Caitlin Clark is going to take this deal or what she's going to do, but the offer has come out that it's out there. So the situation that she's in is either I can go to the WNBA, make what? I don't know what the WNBA salaries are these days at the top of the game. Sure, it's...
I mean, for a rookie, she may get $300,000-$400,000, maybe. I think that's even being generous.
Yeah, as a rookie, I don't think it's that
maybe
much.
Maybe half a mil. Yeah.
I don't think it's that much as a rookie.
Yeah.
And that's not also not guaranteed. So, depending on injuries, et cetera. Or take this $5 million Big Three. Also, what you were saying before with the WNBA, it's like you get there and the ops generally aren't as, like, the eyeballs that are on you now in college, will they still be there in the WNBA? Like, is that longevity and that situation there for you? So I think this is interesting as well, just to see how it plays out and how she decides to move on it.
Yeah. Also, this article is saying that her likely salary will be $80,000.
Yeah, as a rookie, it takes a minute. That's, like, even if you're, like, exceptional.
That's ridiculous. When you look at, like, the rookie contracts for the NBA, for someone who's sitting at the end of the bench.
Yeah.
Versus someone who's going to get in there and, like, be an impact player first year, probably.
Yeah.
I don't think she's going to take it. I think it was, and I think Ice Cube knew she wasn't going to take it. She likely isn't going to take it. But it put the Big Three League in the headlines for a split second. So
for sure,
I think
for sure. Cause I haven't thought about the Big Three. I haven't thought about the Big Three since we originally talked about it. So yeah, you're right.
So I guess moving right along, but staying in the realm of sports, Travis Scott has rolled out, some college merch with Cactus Jack. Did you see any of that stuff in his run that he's been on? I mean, hitting up all these schools.
I haven't seen, what is he hitting up the schools for? To just go? Like,
I mean, he's just showing up, going to the bookstores, signing merch, doing the whole thing. He was out there with, like, I think it was like the Texas football team, practicing and stuff. You know, he's pushing the merch, which is all up for pre-sale right now.
I see it. Why? Not that there has to be a why, but I'm wondering why. Isn't that the question when it comes to branding and marketing, and whenever you enter different spaces, is there a why, or will a why be revealed?
So, like, I think it's more so like a why not in this case, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
And I mean, say that sarcastically, because I was having a discussion, and we are literally going to spend 30 seconds here. I was having a discussion, and when we were talking about Beyonce and Sacred, there was a lot of chatter around, why is she doing a hair care line, or why does she do these different things? And we know some things have not succeeded in the way that we would expect anything for Beyonce to do. But then when it comes to, like, a Travis Scott or other brands, it's like, there doesn't have to be a why. Like, we or society, whomever, put so much emphasis on some people to have a why than others.
Because I think, like, in Beyonce's case, everything she does is very methodical and always has a why. Whereas, like, mm-hmm. Travis Scott, one day I'm coming out with a hard seltzer brand, and then like, his brand is chaos. So, like, when your brand is chaos, then anything you put out fits under that umbrella, you know? So, like, I don't know. I didn't see this and think, like, this is very off-brand for Travis Scott. It's like, no. Putting out merch for 150 colleges and then trying to hit all of them seems very on brand for Travis Scott to me.
All right. And let's get back on the highway. It was just a thought, like something that was thought provoking. I don't think that it's off brand for him either, but I still do want to know why. And, I think it's beautiful merch. Like, I like it. I do.
Yeah. Like, college sports are just hot right now. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. We just got done talking about women's basketball, and he was at USC hanging out with Juju. And, you know, like, I just think that with NIL deals and all of these athletes, you know, they're being, like, prominent figures and faces and actually being brands, like, I can see where he sees the benefit in that. And also, I love the fact that there are a couple of HBCUs that are in that mix a little bit.
Yeah.
I saw A&T in there. I think I saw Grambling might have been in there. So, you know.
Cool. Go Travis.
Next on the list, and I don't know that I even have much to say about this one, but there's a new campaign out for Nike with Matthew M. Williams starring Ja Morant. And I'm just a little confused as to what Ja Morant is doing in this campaign. What they're selling me.
I tried to figure that out, and I thought you were going to fill me in. So
no,
I want to say that the sentiment is the same, because I came to the website and I'm like, okay.
I think this is a case where it's just like, okay, we have, oh, it's a yoga collection. Even more confusing. Okay. I think it's one of those situations where Nike is just like, okay, we haven't done anything with Ja Morant in a while, and we got this campaign coming. Very similar to, like, to the Jacques Mousse featuring Sha'Carri.
Yeah.
Type vibe. Even though I think that was different, because
at least that
the case can be made Sha'Carri is a fashion girl, you know?
Yeah. And at least it felt like, I don't know. That one just felt more connected. This one, I'm not seeing the connection.
Yeah. But this is something that they do often. Also, does it have
to be? It's just like beautiful gowns type of situation. It's like, listen, we got a cool roster of athletes that are you know, spokespersons. We're doing this collaboration. Let's lean into what we already have.
I guess
they could just be looking at it from a modeling standpoint. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. I'm not really rolling, but you know, I probably
but you know, wasn't gonna. We find can't. It. Right. It's fine. I think it's fine.
Okay. All right. Bronzy thinks it's fine. Still sticking in the sports and college realm. The guard for Duke, Jared McCain, has signed an NIL deal with Sally Henson for their nail polish. And it had people like a bit in an uproar. Not sure why.
People are exhausting.
I think you sent this to me, like, too.
I did send this to you. Why were people in an uproar? I didn't see that. I thought this was like incredibly cool. I think it's disruptive, and maybe that's why people are in an uproar, because this is not your typical, your normal, what you think or what society thinks is supposed to happen. It's not like, it's not yeah. in the playbook. You know what I mean?
But also it's like, it was a super smart collaboration. He wears nail polish all the time.
Right. Right.
But I mean, I think even in his, when he put it out, he's like, people going to be mad and like, they just going to have to stay mad type thing. But I mean, there's always this conversation around men wearing nail polish. Like when Dwayne Wade was painting his toenails, it was a thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think Wiz Khalifa might paint his nails, it's a thing. Lil Baby, someone like pointed out in one of his videos that it looked like his nails were painted and he had to come out with a whole statement like, nah, I didn't, you know, and I don't get the big deal. It's like, I don't get the big deal. Like, if you want to paint your nails, paint them. If you don't, don't. Like, and if you can get a bag off of painting your nails, do it. Shout out to Jared McCain.
It's a styling choice. That's literally what it is. Mm-hmm. Just like anything else, whether it's earrings, tattoos, glasses, it's an accessory to how you show up. And right, to your point, if you can get a bag off of it, get a bag off of it. He was already doing it anyway. And it just makes sense.
Yep. So now we're entering our new segment, the Beyonce segment, right?
Okay.
Which is a part of every single episode.
At this point.
Yeah. It is. Have you had a chance to listen to Cowboy Carter? That's a rhetorical question because I know the answer is yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I haven't. Ask me, have I listened to anything else? That'll be the better question.
Right.
Yes, I have. And I am so satisfied with it. And I know that also probably feels like a rhetorical response because people just think like if you're Beyonce fans are going to like anything that she does. Mm-hmm. If she keeps delivering, she keeps delivering. And I don't know what to tell you. But
yeah,
I thought this was a great album.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I thought this was a great album. It made complete sense in terms of what she said when she was like, it's not a country album, it's a Beyonce album. And there's so many layers to like dissect and understand and appreciate when it comes to this body of work.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, you mentioned people just assuming that Beyonce fans like everything that she does. I'll be honest with you. I was a little nervous like before this album came out because I'm not a country fan. And I'm like, what if I don't like this? I was really scared I wasn't going to like it. But
I get that.
Pleasantly surprised. And, you know, I love like all the cerebral shit. So like, mm-hmm. you know, the backstories and the reclaiming black hit, you know, that's my bag. But we were talking a little bit before we started recording. I told y'all, I told you like that. There's like a 3-song run in there that I just keep running back to back from Desert Eagle to River Dance to Two Hands to Heaven.
Yes.
Like that is perfect sequencing right there.
It is. I mean, I have so many moments like that in the album and I appreciate just the approach that she gives. Like she gives you everything in this country album. So I think she's saying like country music. I don't know. Like it don't even matter. It's everything. It's how I show up. It's who I am. And I feel like mm-hmm. this album specifically culminates a lot of pieces of Beyonce that we've experienced throughout her entire career trajectory. Like she's given us vocals. She's given us rap. She's given us pop. She's given us like she literally said she's given us opera. I ain't your regular singer. Come get everything that you came for. Yeah, so I think this is amazing. I think she's out here. She's approaching this a little differently than she did Renaissance. Like she's showing up places. She's doing signings. She was in Japan. She showed up to the iHeart Radio mm-hmm. Awards. I think it's called awards. Receiving the innovator award.
Question about Japan. Do we know why she was in Japan?
I have no idea why Japan was the spot. I have no idea.
I was just like, interesting.
She probably sick of us over here.
Say what? Oh, she probably sick
Japan
of us
might
over
be
here,
like,
so?
Yeah, Japan might be like a really not good only, market.
Yeah, like, because not only did she go to Japan, but then she was doing like signings and meet interacting and with people.
Right.
That was crazy.
Right. I was like, she's been a lot more vocal, giving us captions and stuff like that. So I don't know what she has up her sleeve.
I'm sorry, that was funny. Being a lot more vocal, giving us captions is nuts.
She's been a lot more vocal, giving us captions. Like, we're actually hearing from her or her team. She's saying things to us. And with that, so, you know, she has a song on the album called Levi's. It's called Levi's?
Levi's Jeans.
Yeah. With Post Malone. And how incredible is this that Levi's stock increased 20% following the release of that song?
You know, that's the economy at work.
The economy. She continues to elevate the economy whenever she pops out. Like, I'm sure we done seen a surge in Google searches for cowboy hats and cowboy boots and cowboys and horses and everything.
The black history of country and all of that, you know.
Black artists, also the black artists that are featured, they have seen significant spikes in their streams since the album was released. And these are things that, like, when you're in Beyonce's position, that you only can hope that happens when you're bringing these voices and stuff together collectively. It's just been amazing. It's been amazing to witness and to, like, experience in real time.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously when the album was coming out, a lot of brands were getting in on the action, one of which that really jumped out there and kind of alluded to, like, a big thing coming was Uber. To everybody's disappointment, when it was revealed that they were just offering 20% off on your ride the day that the album dropped, people were not happy, and Lyft had a lot to say about it, which I thought was pretty funny.
Lyft literally tweeted and said, "Crumbs were left." Didn't do what y'all think y'all ate that. Y'all didn't quite do that.
And then turned around and offered 50%.
And turn around and say, "You know what? If this is all that you can do, let me go ahead and just
let me show you how to do this.
So I'm also curious, what is Beyonce doing now? What is next? She just literally released a website, bencountry.com. And right now it's a landing page with photos of, like, country things.
Showing how she been country.
But there's speculation that that site is more than just a landing page showing how she's been country, and that it will be revealed in time. What are your thoughts?
I'm kind of off the whole speculating about what Beyonce is doing train, because, like, we still speculating about the visuals from act one. Now we on to act two. You think we getting visuals this time?
I think we're going to get visuals, but not anytime when we expect to get visuals. I feel like all is going to be said and done before we get visuals at this point. But again, this is us speculating.
At this point, it's just like, girl, whatever, do what you want to do.
Is Ben Country a tour? Is Ben Country going to be the name of the tour? Is Ben Country going to be the Las Vegas, like, residency? Is Ben Country going to be a film?
Okay, outside of the Vegas residency, do we really foresee Beyonce going back on a North American, let alone world tour, after Renaissance? Is that possible?
I don't see that.
I don't see that at all. Everybody's all scared. Like, girl, I'm broke. I don't have the coin. And I'm like, relax. There's no way she's doing that all over again. But also, Janelle,
I don't know. I don't put anything past her. That's the scary part, though.
Which is why.
Because literally, when you sit here and you think about the last six months, she ended a world tour. She released a film. She did all this lead up for Cowboy Carter. She did the Super Bowl commercial and all that situation. She did Sacred Hair Care line launch and release and promotion. And she released Cowboy Carter and is doing press runs. Those are five huge situations and projects. And we're talking about the last 6 months. Are you kidding me?
That's a lot.
Are you kidding me? Do you realize how much that is?
Yeah. I mean, when you say, when you list it all like that, yeah, that's a lot of shit.
In 6 months. Like, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. I can't put anything past her. Like, no. Like, how do you add on top of that also announcing and going on a world tour? There's, I would say that's literally impossible.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening.
But I would think all those six things that I just listed to do in 6 months is also impossible.
But my thing is like, okay, with all the things that you listed, it's not just her working by herself. She has a team. But you got to be the sole person getting up there every night performing these tracks. And to have gone through that, like, that's taxing on somebody's body. You feel me? Like,
oh, I feel
that's
like
why
that part,
I don't foresee
could,
it.
I feel like that part is probably the easiest part for her.
You think so?
The execution piece of it for Beyonce is the easiest part. The biggest part for her is the preparation and, like, do we have a rig that's big enough and dealing with the people and the project management and all that. That's the part that I feel like she ain't had time to do none of that. But
exactly.
Going night
I'm
after
like,
night and performing, I feel like is the easy part for her. For her.
But okay, but I'm speaking of like a tour in its totality. We just saw a whole film about how long and how intricate it was to put together Renaissance. Where would she have found the time to, she would have had to have simultaneously been working on this tour. How?
Right. And I don't think that's, if we got to move, Janelle, but if,
okay,
if Cowboy Carter was supposed to be the first act, they might have already been 80% done with organizing and understanding how the tour was going to go. So it's possible that this was already par baked and they just need to put finishing touches on it. And they could have been doing that over the last 6 months or while Renaissance was wrapping and things like that. So I don't know. I'm going to say it's not possible. But also these are the reasons why I can't put anything past her.
Fair. All right. I guess we can move on to our last topic in Above the Fold, which is Serena Williams's Wynn Beauty. And I'm going to let you take it away because that is your girl. So explain to us what is going on.
Okay. So Serena Williams has released a beauty line called Wynn Beauty, and it's W-Y-N. So back to my discussion earlier, because me and Amadi were having this discussion literally last night, because he had lots of things to say about our segment with Beyonce and like why when it comes to her, does everyone put everything that I pretty much said earlier in the episode? And she was like, he was like, okay, so for Wynn Beauty, does it make sense for Serena to do a makeup line? And I thought that was a valid question because we haven't known Serena to be like a beauty girl. That's not like associated and attached with her brand in that way. There's literally been photos and things like that have come out and people have been like, do y'all see her makeup? And like, there's been lots of discord around how she has shown up. So she does this, this makeup line. It's called Wynn Beauty by Serena. Makeup made to move in. It's called active makeup is how she's talking about it. I saw her on the Today Show talking about it. And the way that she has framed it up does make me believe that this is like a brand that she's passionate about, that she has poured into. And she's always talked about like doing a quick face, how she's shown up on court or during her press conferences. She'll be back there doing her mascara and putting on some blush or whatever, just something that's really quick and you can go and you can like be active in it. So she's created this line to assimilate or be adjacent to that, like how you can like be a mom and you're like out all day and it's just like you're not putting on a full beat and like that's not the way we show up is what she was saying. So it's branded in the way of tennis, where like the colors of a tennis ball. I like it. I think it makes sense for her. Ultimately, I'm saying it's not like this full Fenty style makeup line, but it's like, I don't know much about makeup, so there's only but so much I can say here, Janelle, and know that what I'm talking about. But it's like a lip or a mascara or a eyeliner, a quick base, foundation, or whatever, concealer. I guess it's everything. I don't know.
I like it.
But I could also be biased because of Serena.
You're very biased. Yes. And that's why I was just, I'm like, I'm just going to let him go. I'm just going to let him go. Get it all off your chest. This makes absolutely no sense. The market is super saturated. I don't know why you would want to put out a makeup line in the first place. I just think that there were so many other avenues before that I could think of before I would get to beauty brand, or at least makeup brand for Serena. And, you know, that's just my take on it.
Have you looked at it?
I don't get it. Yeah. And I mean, I've glimpsed at it.
Okay. I mean, I like it. It doesn't make sense.
The branding is cute. It's pretty.
I think that I like I the way, don't. I don't think she could have positioned it any better. Like for it to kind of sort of make sense for her. Mm-hmm. I felt the same way in terms of there has to be a connection. There has to be a story for it to make sense. I do feel good that she didn't go out and be like, here's all you need to beat your face and like go to the Met Gala. Like she's not showing up that this makeup line is like end all be all top tier. It's like, grab this real quick, girl, and go, cause you got to get on the court or what have you. So I think it makes sense. I don't think she's trying to become a,
oh, what?
A Mac or something like with this brand, but I don't know. She got so many different little things. She got like Will Perform, which is like supplements or cream or like Bengay type stuff that you rub on yourself after you.
That makes sense. She got S
by Serena, which is
what
her.
What is S by Serena? See, do we think she, is she doing too much? S by
Serena is the fashion line.
Is she doing too
much?
Like
the dresses and stuff. Then she got S Jewelry. Serena
S by Serena. I miss that one. S by
no,
Serena.
No, you've seen S by Serena.
No,
she's done shows and like runways and Anna Wintour be helping her and stuff.
Okay. Shout out to Serena. Anyway. You know. Shout out to Serena. Hopefully, I wish her all the best. I hope it works. Like I said, the branding is super cute. And you know I'm a sucker for some branding. So I might be in Sephora one day and forget what I even said. Like, oh, look at this. Look at this this little green bottle. And next thing I know, right, I'm a win beauty girl. I don't know. I just think at face value, without having seen the Today Show segment and heard her wax poetic about why this makes sense, At face value, it doesn't make sense to me.
Fair, because at face value, I said the same exact thing. You're right. Cool. I'm rooting for Serena, though, in all things, so it don't matter.
All right. Yeah, we know. We're aware.
All right. Ready to jump into Guess That Spokesperson?
Yes, I am.
Let's go.
All right. So it's my turn to give you the clues and whatnot. Let me pull up my notes. The brand today is Calvin Klein.
Okay.
The three hints. Okay. This person is regarded as a generational talent, and he got to start songwriting before breaking out as a singer himself. The New Orleans native has won 2 Grammys, and his last full project was released in 2016, and he actually released 2 projects in that year.
Oh my God. Calvin Klein, New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
It's from New Orleans.
Yep.
Last project, 2016, released 2 that year?
Two that year.
And has won?
2 Grammys.
2 Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
Started out as a singer-songwriter before singing himself.
Before kind of breaking out as a singer himself.
Before breaking out as a singer. 2016, that's throwing me off. Were both projects him singing?
Yes.
Did he win a Grammy from those projects? Either one?
Let me see. He did not.
Okay.
Which is kind of wild, but
2016. So it ain't.
Both of his Grammy wins were in 2013.
Right. So who do I know from New Orleans? It ain't PJ Morton. Ain't John Baptiste. Have they released any music and albums since then, since 2016?
No, that's why I said last full project was in 2016.
Okay.
Last full project. They've released music since then, but a full cohesive body of work. Last one was 2016.
I think you might stump me on this one, Janelle.
You got one more question.
Oh my God. Calvin Klein. Were they like a Calvin Klein spokesperson in print where it was like, you know how Calvin Klein be putting people in drawers and t-shirts and socks,
or was it like it wasn't as I don't think it was the underwear like that. It was more of their one of their more tame campaigns, and there was a video and a print component, film and print component, I should say.
I don't have it.
Not even a guess. I'll repeat my first hint. I said regarded as a generational talent.
Generational talent. What does that
mean? They're seen as this like savant of music. They're
okay.
You may disagree. Now that I think about it, you probably will disagree. But the answer is Frank
Ocean.
Wait. I just said it. Frank Ocean.
Got it. Oh, okay. I got you. That was a good one.
It's kind of hard to come up with these hints to like give enough, but like not too much. Mm-hmm.
It is.
I wanted to mention something about
Coachella. But now
sitting
here thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Got you. That was a good one.
Cool.
It was hard enough, but not easy.
Yeah. We still, and we say this every week, and we're like, oh, we gotta like, we have to like adjust the rules. But we next time, we gonna have some new.
Yeah, we got some. I got you. Let's talk offline.
Okay.
All right, cool. So it's time to go ahead and name Go On With Your Black Ads or That Ain't It. Who you got?
All right. Go On With Your Black Ads. I'm going to give that. I'm going to give it to Beyonce just for the Levi stock increasing alone. Just like her impact anytime she does anything, especially drops an album. It is going to cause waves.
Janelle, let's be for real. Economies. Like, go ahead. We got to give her good. Tens. Like,
yeah, Beyonce, that's what I'm doing.
As a brand, she has been trending since dropping this album. Like, you can't open Twitter. You can't open Instagram. You cannot turn on the news without seeing Cowboy Carter, somebody talking about it, whether it's from a cause marketing kind of standpoint, whether it's from outrage marketing standpoint because people are mad that she created this album, or if you're talking about her breaking the barriers and she's like the first artist that has occupied the first 20 spots, or she's the first Black artist that has debuted on the Spotify country charts or the Amazon charts. Literally, she has done everything. Like, you want to get on here and talk about you're only going to give it to her based off of her.
I'm not saying only, but I'm not saying only because of that, but I'm saying this week, like specifically because she shifts economies. Okay. Like, goddamn.
Okay.
We're agreeing. Sure. Now, if you want to get mad at me, be mad at me for my "that ain't it," because I might be giving that to your girl Serena with the Wynn Beauty. Now you got something to say. Let's go. I said what I said. Okay, that ain't
Let me go ahead and give mine. Let me give mine.
Go ahead.
My going with your Black ads is going to absolutely go to Cowboy Carter, Beyonce Carter. "That Ain't It." I don't have a "That Ain't It."
Okay.
Serena, she has earned the right to do whatever it is that she wants to do.
Sure.
And I think it makes sense that she did Wynn Beauty. I love that she named it Wynn Beauty. I love how she has connected it to her brand. Will it move mountains and like do incredible? I don't particularly think so. Is that the point of launching brands? Yes. So you make a lot of valid points.
That's counter to like Serena's whole brand. Her whole brand is winning and dominating. And you're like, she don't want to be Mac. She just wants to come out here and do a little. No, the bitch wants to win. That's her brand.
Still, I like it.
Okay.
Y'all need to catch up. You people are the problem, not her.
Okay. All right.
That could be. But
Bronzy's not biased.
But
yeah, that could. No, it is 100% your bias. And that's fine. We all have them.
Can y'all let me. Okay. Can y'all let me know? Like, please DM or leave in the comments. Is Serena, is this okay? Is this right? Does this brand make sense for her, Wynn Beauty? Let us know and we can kill the chatter.
Okay.
Thank y'all for listening to this episode of Witch of Black Ads. As always, like, follow, subscribe, and check out the website at witchofblackads.com and share with your people.
Yes.
Till next time. See y'all.
Bye.
That's what the fuck I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. It was so black ass. It was black ass.